Hi, welcome back to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Let's get right into today's episode.
Well, welcome to Wednesday of Holy Week. This day does not have a really common name in the West either, but in other parts of the world, they know it as Spy Wednesday. For fairly obvious reasons, this is where Judas Iscariot makes his infamous entrance into the week. So, just to remind you, Sunday, he had his triumphal entry. Monday, he's cleansing, right? Tuesday is where the religious leaders very publicly went after him and tried to either turn the crowd against him or Rome against him, right? Or somebody, but Jesus wouldn't take the bait. They couldn't do it, so on Wednesday, there is a lot going on. But many have called it the calm before the storm, because although a lot is happening, it's happening kind of behind closed doors. It's happening in the alleyways as they begin to conspire together to kill Jesus. That's all that they have at their disposal at this point, right? Of course, these leaders, they know that publicly they are not going to be able to go after Jesus. They could get to him when there wasn't a crowd around. That's when they could really act. And that is where they need somebody from Jesus' inner circle. And Judas arrives. Judas Iscariot, right? So let's start the day. We'll back up just a little. Jesus wakes up. They're still in Bethany. Remember, about a mile and a half outside of Jerusalem. And they're staying with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who he had just raised from the dead, right? Which makes pretty much a lot of sense. If you've raised Lazarus, yes, Jesus, you can stay here as long as you want, right? So he's staying there outside of town, and he walks again with his disciples from Bethany over to Jerusalem. And again, a crowd amasses, right? And again, Jesus begins to teach them. But this time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other religious leaders, they don't try to stop Jesus. They've seen how that went. It did not go so well. So they allowed him to go and teach, continue to teach, right? And Caiaphas, who is the high priest at that time, he calls together a group of people into his palace to come up with a plan to get rid of Jesus. So Caiaphas calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders, and anybody who will work together to get rid of Jesus and has power, is called into this meeting. Some people call it the Last Supper before the Last Supper, right? And I think it's interesting, we've mentioned this a little bit already, but there are not people who naturally work together, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they are not normal allies at all. They don't work together, ever. But at this point, they have a common enemy in Jesus. And if it takes working together to get rid of Jesus, that is what they're going to do. The problem is that Jesus not only has high public approval, but this is all happening during Passover, right? So there are millions of people around. Jesus's crowds are as big as they've ever been. And Passover isn't the best time to carry out an assassination, right? They could have an insurrection on their hands. But then that's where they encounter this very, you can say, unexpected but welcome opportunity with Judas. So Judas has forever been known as one of the darkest characters in, you can say, human history. In every list that the disciples give, Judas is always mentioned last. And they are very careful to clarify that this is the one who betrayed Jesus. And apparently, this shadow over Judas just carried on through generations, because about 3 or 4 centuries later, there was a gospel according to Judas written by his family members, or motivated by his family members, to be able to put another narrative out that said, well, actually, what happened is that Jesus asked Judas to do all of this. This was all part of Jesus's plan. So Judas' actions on this day, they are not only stay with his family, but we're still talking about it over 2,000 years later. You know, I was thinking about what it means really to be betrayed And there's a lot of different ways and different kinds of betrayal. It's wanting to be cheated in a business deal. It's wanting to maybe lose a relationship over a really strong disagreement. But it's a whole another thing to have somebody who is loyal to you and who you trust betray you. And some of us have maybe experienced this before. You know what it feels like, right? Some of you have committed that very act, maybe. But however bad it is, however high the consequences are, it is still a whole another thing to betray Jesus himself. Just think about that for a little bit. And this, of course, is what Judas did. And I think it's interesting to know that Jesus has already said to this group that somebody would betray him. One of the disciples would betray him. But they didn't know who it was, right? It wasn't like he had said, somebody's going to betray me, and all eyes are drifted towards Judas. They really had no idea. But when you go back through all four gospel accounts, there is at least one place that we can see that things weren't always right with Judas. And you know, you may remember the anointing at Bethany. The anointing of Jesus at Bethany in John chapter 12. Mary, the sister of Martha, took some very expensive ointment, maybe between 15 and 20,000 in terms of our money. And she anointed Jesus with it. And Judas, who's there at that point, he objects, asking, why was this anointing not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So he's acting like this extravagant. This is unnecessary. This is wasteful. But Jesus turns around and says, no, it's not unnecessary and it's not extravagant, right? It is perfectly justifiable. And Jesus goes so far as to call it a beautiful thing. But what Jesus knows is that Judas doesn't really care about the poor, right? He doesn't care. He is pretty much a greedy person who's in charge of the money bag. And Judas sees a great opportunity here, or at least a great opportunity wasted by this anointing, right? Because of so much money. And so I think Judas has been on a bad path for some time now. I think he's realizing maybe that he won't be sitting with Jesus, right, when he brings his kingdom. But most of all, I think Judas is realizing Jesus is going to die. Jesus has said three times already that he is going to die. And he's also said yesterday that when that happens, things are going to get hard for the disciples. So I think Judas is having all of this land with him in this moment, and he decides that he's out. He's not going to give his life for a lost cause, and he's deciding to turn on Jesus. Either way, whatever the motivations for the conspirators, this was their opportunity. This was the opportunity that they were looking for. And so this spy, Judas, he is going to lead them to Jesus when there is no crowd, where there will be no opposition, there will be no revolt, right? And Judas agrees to do this for 30 pieces of silver. And I think it's interesting that 30 pieces of silver is the exact cost of a slave in the book of Exodus as well. So what do we do with this? The spy wins today. We could go a few different directions. We can do one of two things. We can be Judas, or we can be Mary. And it was really interesting to me at that point to really think about it. Because both Judas and Mary were close to Jesus. Both of them, I think it was really landing that Jesus is going to die. Mary actually says that she's preparing, in the anointing, she's preparing Jesus' body for burial. I think they both understand that Jesus is going to die. They're reacting in very different ways, though. So you have two people, both pretty close to Jesus, but one is spiritually close to Jesus. Judas is there, side by side with Jesus, but emotionally, spiritually, relationally, he could not be further away from Jesus. Mary is close to Jesus, and emotionally, spiritually, and relationally close to Jesus, right? And so I think the question that we should ask is, what is our proximity to Jesus? Are we close to him geographically? You know, in the terms of we go to church, maybe we watch online, we read our Bible, we pray, we go through these religious motions, right? But really, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, are we far from Jesus? Or are we like Mary, right? Who is worshiping Jesus, who's close to him every day, who hears news and understands news that she does not want to hear. She doesn't understand it, but she trusts him and she worships him anyway. So to end this, what is our proximity to Jesus this Wednesday? And just like that, this is the end of the fourth day of the most important week in history. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow to see what happens on Thursday. Thank you for listening to The Rugged Gospel. I want to thank you all so much for all the stars and reviews and all your support this far. If you haven't, please leave us a review and a rating, which helps the podcast grow and be more visible to people. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for all announcements, and please comment. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, we're so excited to announce that we are now on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to the channel. The link will be listed below. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on another episode of The Rugged Gospel.